You notice me coming up the stairs, one of my knees is 79 years old, the other one's only about 5. And believe it or not, the one that I had replaced is stronger than the one that I didn't have replaced. I guess I'm depending more on this one, and I have trouble walking stairs a little bit. But after I get up here, I'm good as a teenager. Hardly. Evangelistically speaking. If people ask me this morning how I was, I said, I feel like a crosscut saw. How many knows what a crosscut saw is? Huh? How many does it take to handle one? That's how I feel. Yeah, thanks again, Pastor. I look forward, ever since last year, your pastor spoils me. He treats me, I guess, nicer than anyone, him and his family, and I've fallen in love with him. I just, the only regret I have, I don't have more time to hang around and fellowship and so with him, but I'm somewhere different there. Last week, this time, I was in North Carolina. Week before that, I was in Kentucky. Week before that, I was in New Hampshire, I think it was. Week before that, I was in Mississippi. And next week, I'll be in Tennessee. And then that following week, I'll be in Florida. And so I'm like a bad check. I just bounce all over the place. But I'm enjoying life at 79. Praise God. Amen. Something you can do for Russell Anderson is that you can pray for me. Yes. And so that God will give me. The other day, I was praying, Pastor, and I like to repeat this. All day, nothing. It's about, I think it's March. And I said, God, I'm getting old. And God, please let me live another 7 years that I may serve you. And I stopped. I said, God, did you hear what I said? Write that down. I said, now notice, I didn't ask you to let me live another 7 years to enjoy the wealth you've given me. In fact, I live economically. As economically as most of you in there, and most of you live higher on the hog than I do. I have what I want, but man grew up on gravy and biscuits and cornbread and soup beans and hog back. It don't take much to satisfy me. I never got out of that. You know? If they found anything better than cornbread and soup beans and buttermilk, I haven't found it. I don't know. And so I'm real thankful. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to make a few statements before I get into the message this morning and tell you what the title of my Sunday school, the title of such this morning. You know, there's some things in the Bible I have a pretty hard time of understanding or comprehending. You imagine if all of us were slaves in here, and ladies, imagine not seeing your husband. He leaves before daylight and don't come back after dark. And the children doesn't see him hardly ever. In daylight, and all he does is go out and make bricks all day long, works for the king. And then you begin to pray for deliverance, and God sends Moses and delivers all of us out of the bondage like that. God sent the 10 plagues. Now listen what God did. Same things I don't understand. God sent the 10 plagues on Pharaoh. Each plague he sent was one of the gods. And so one of the reasons why that God sent the plagues, he wanted his people to see that he had the power to do anything he wanted to do. You and I serve a God can do anything. You and I serve a God that has never failed. You and I serve a God, if you can get him on your side, and I say this, somehow, strange enough, years ago, I got him on my side. If you get him on your side, you and God make a majority. God and David made a majority against all the Philistines. And the 17-year-old boy took care of Goliath, all 9 foot 10 inches tall, all because he had God on his side. Now, I beg you, I come here, I beg you to get God on your side. If you want to get a raise on the job, if you want to be a better husband, a better wife, raise better children, get God on your side. That's all you have to do. Very simple. But the old devil will fight you every step of the way. All you have to do is get God on your side. Imagine now, the children of Israel, God heard their prayer, and he sent Moses down, sent the 10 plagues. And then Pharaoh finally agreed to let them go, and then they got against the Red Sea, and you know the story there, how that the children of Israel came to Moses and began to complain, and we'd be better off here. What are we going to do? Moses said, you just follow me. You just follow me. And you know how he did, raise his staff, And God parted the Red Sea and got them over into the dry ground. And they even got their shoes shine dirty. Then here come Pharaoh. Now just think of it. Here he come with his armies trying to capture them. And so God just closed up the Red Sea and drowned it all. But before that, he went down and took the wagon wheels off. The chariot wheels. Yeah. God did.
Amen.
See, God on your side, you and God make a majority.
Yeah.
You see? And then go to on Joshua chapter 10. It tells about them being in a battle. And the children of Israel, maybe a million of them, was killing people. And said God threw stones from heaven and killed more than a million soldiers did. Think of that. And he threw a perfect strike every time. Best pitcher. The number one pitcher in the world was God. Every time he threw one off come a Philistine's head.
Amen.
That's that one. But then when they got over in the promised land, now here's what's hard for me to understand. When they got over, when Moses led them, Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the law. And so when he came back down, they had made a molten calf. They cut the earrings off and they made a molten calf and they said, "These be the gods that delivered us out of the land of Egypt." They saw Moses delayed to come down the mount and gather themselves unto the urn and unto make us gods which should go before us. For this Moses, the man, brought us up out of the land of Egypt. We don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears. Now Aaron was in on this too, Moses' brother. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought up thee up out of the land of Egypt." That's hard for me to understand after God parted the Red Sea. Is it you?
Right.
That's almost as bad as God letting us be born here in America, the greatest country in the world.
Amen.
And then we won't serve him.
Right.
We stay home Wednesday night and watch television. The ball game going. We are convenient. A convenient God's what we want.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand that. And so they be the gods, O Israel, that brought us out of that, out of the Red Sea. And you know what, the judgment God, and many lost their lives because. And they had that music playing, the rock music playing, and naked and dancing. And so God had to judge them, killed them. Now, that's hard for me to understand. It's almost like a child after we, dads and moms, after we bring them into the world and feed them and diaper them and mama, all that first 2 or 3 years to get them potty trained. And then we feed them, we clothe them, we work for them, we give them a nice bed, and then the children don't want to obey us. That's our fault for not applying the board of education to the seed of learning. That's it. And so, but that shocks me. And then when I go down and see, they send the 12 spies over into the promised land, and that 12 spies and 10 come back, Joshua and Caleb brought back and said, "We can take care of them." And the 10 spies come back, "All these giants over there, we can't take care of them." And Joshua and Caleb, boy, I'd like to be a Joshua and a Caleb. Huh? And Joshua and Caleb said, "With God on our side, we can do anything. Come on, let's go get them right now."
Yeah.
And they said, "No." And the children of Israel, they are so excited, the crowd, that they wanted to stone Moses. You know? "Let's go back to Israel. To Egypt.
Yeah.
The leeks and the garlic and the onions. Let's go back there." I don't understand that after God had delivered them. Neither do I understand as close as Peter was to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, "Lord, rest of them deacons there, they may run off and leave you," but he said, "I'll never do it. They may forsake you, but I'll never do it." But then when the trial come, and when they was leading Jesus away, "And they that laid hold of Jesus led him by the way to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders. But Peter followed him afar off in the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Peter followed him afar off. That's hard for me to understand. He said he loved him. He said, and Jesus told him, said, "Before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny me 3 times. Could you not do that? What led up to this? He followed it far off.
Yeah.
He went to Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday, and then stayed for church and Sunday, Wednesday night, and so on. He wasn't real active. You see, he got away from God. And beat it all, Pastor, as good friends as you and I have become, in the short time we've known one another, is love at first sight. I'm jealous of him. He's got more hair than I've got. But but imagine us turncoating one another. I would over the King James. You would too. I'm a King James man. And so I believe the Bible to be the inspired word, preserved, inspired word for the English people.
Yes, sir.
And so just in case, somebody wants to, I've got everything. This Bible is like a woman's pocketbook. You got everything in it. And so I this King James Bible, I want to die that way. Now I've got notes there for my grandchildren. Grandchildren? Hey, write grandpa and grandma a letter and tell them how you love them and that. Boy, that's better than a $50 bill. They'd rather have that. That's what I tell my grandchildren. I'd rather have a car. Oh, I like to just carry it, Pastor, all the time. Dr. Jack Hiles said, don't tell me I've been preaching from an imperfect Bible for 50 years. Don't tell me First Baptist Church of Hammond was built on an imperfect Bible. Don't be loyal to an institution. Be loyal to God's book. That's on page 26 of Dr. Hiles' book on the need for every word Bible. So then it says, if the day ever comes that some teacher, Hiles Anderson College, teaches that we have no perfect English translation King James Bible, that rascal will never walk on campus again. Imagine how many people he'd boot off Dr. Hiles resurrected and went to Hiles Anderson tomorrow morning. I wonder, he'd clean house. He'd take him a whip like Jesus did, and there'd be a lot of people looking for jobs tomorrow night. And so, if day ever comes that some teacher, now that's pretty plain. You know, I'm just an old country boy, never been to college day in my life, but I'm dumb enough I can understand something like this.
Yes,
he said, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Someday the Hiles Anderson College teachers, we have no perfect English translation of King James Bible. That rascal will never walk on campus again. He'll never teach another class. Again, that's on page 27, the need for an every word Bible. If you want that book, the pastor can order it for you. Don't come to me with your stinking feet, your stinking only.
Amen.
Don't come with your stinking only the original inspired. You're not an intellectual. You're retarded.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm not retarded. Yes. I believe it. And he told me this.
Yes.
And so, then we're talking about Peter here, and then he followed Jesus for off. He warmed himself before the fire with the enemies. And one of the damsels came up. I'll skip some of it.
He brought that message too, Doc.
Huh?
Out of my Bible. Remember that?
Yeah. He brought it. Yeah, that's a message.
Yes,
yeah, it's a message by itself, and he can order this literature.
Amen.
You know, I got started with old men that had proved the Bible for years.
Yeah.
I got started with them, and they grounded me in the faith, like Dr. John R. Rice,
yes.
Dr. Lee Robertson,
yeah.
Some of the great men like Dr. Tom Malone.
Yes.
It was good enough for them. It's good enough for me.
Amen.
Then let's get back to Peter here. I'm laying a foundation to the Sunday school lesson. And so I had never read this before, but I don't know, Holy Spirit. Somebody might have need that. I'll just tell you what. I want to get out of business world. Let me tell you what I did do one time. When God, I can take the Ephesians 4:11, I'll do it now because of time. God is so, I may do it in a minute, but anyway. God's so interesting. He gave us pastors to keep us on the right track. Ephesians 4:11 gave some prophets and missionaries and some pastors.
Yep.
So you go to the man of God. Don't go to a shrink. Ladies, don't tell your problem on your husband. Come to the pastor. Let him get on. And vice versa. Come see the pastor. Now, I'm going to tell you, let me speak to married people there. Devil's going to see to it that we have disagreements with their wives. Now, somebody says, me and my wife never quarreled, and we never had any bad moments. You're a liar. But we have a man of God to go to. I went to Dr. Jack Hiles one time. I was going to get out of the business world worth $300,000 or $400,000. I was going to be a soul winner. A second man, I wasn't qualified for pastor, but I knew how to win 10, 12 souls a week to Christ. And I said, what do you think, Doc? I'll just get out. And I get a. He said, Russ, let me tell you. The world needs for some man to prove to him that you can live a godly Christian life and you can be in business, you can be a soul winner, and you live a celebrated life and you're not going to depend on politics unless Sarah Palin comes along, and then you might. So, but I'm sorry. I'm going to have a good time whether you do or not. I'm going to enjoy it. Now you got me off my, track. But anyway, I went to him, and I said, what do you think? He said, Russ, God needs a man that proves to the world that you can be in business and prove him. And I said, by God's help, I'll be that man. 7 successful men, over $35 million in heaven. I'm glad I listened to him, over 12 million people and my foreign missionaries alone, just two. And it caught just over, I don't know what, 900 and some churches I built. I don't know how many people get saved every Sunday night. I think it was good I listened to my pastor, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Do you think I made the right decision by listening to Dr. Howells and staying in business?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh? Amen. 10 Bible colleges, 900 and something?
Yeah.
So that's what we get. So I went to the man of God. I didn't go to a shrink and pay him $200 an hour. And so I went to the man of God. When you're in trouble, when God calls a man to preach, he empowers him with some knowledge that you and I don't understand. He's no to say the scripture. But let me get back to Peter again. I've got to lay a foundation, and then I've got to get on this message. Now, it says here, then a damsel come and said, Peter's among the unsaved there, a long crowd. And so one of the damsels came and said, you're one of his men. He said, no, I'm not either. I don't even know him. And let me tell you something you don't believe. Then he began to curse. Hey, could you not do it? And swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus which said in him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, if I can find, I'm going to get over in Philippians here, and we're going to start the Sunday school lesson. Let me tell you this story. Oh, no, I better not. Just let me get to Philippians. I'll save it. Pastor's going to invite me back for the next 10 years, and so I'll use it another year, another time. And so, what happens to people? You know, Christians, we know that just got on fire for God, and they thought he was going to preach, and I got a relative. They thought, sure, he's going to preach. He got on fire for God. And so something happened. You know how a lot of people all of a sudden drop out of church. They've been real faithful Sunday morning, Sunday. Pastor, you've had casualties. I've had employees. I've had all kinds of employees. I've took them off of starvation, taught them how to tape and put a lot of training into them. And then somebody offered them a nickel more, and they forget the $5,000 in training money I got invested in them. They take off somewhere else. Pastor, you go out and get somebody, and they're about to divorce. You've saved their marriage and stuff. And then their little daughter, beautiful little daughter, grows up. Marries some unsaved heathen, hair down to his shoulders, and smells like the brew, and then he wants you to marry him. And if you won't do it, and then they get mad and leave.
Right.
I know it. Or they want to have a reception in the church or something. You can't go along with that.
You're right. And I won't either.
Yeah, I know it. And so that's why I'm still got this first wife. So I know you won't do it. And so now, what happened? What happened to these people? The title of my message this morning, somebody said this about Brother Howells recently. I prepared a message on it. He said, Dr. Jack Howells never stopped growing. So I entitled this little Sunday school lesson this morning, I never want to stop growing, do you? In all these cases I just read you about, and I've got many more I could tell you about people to turn their back on God, they stop growing. It starts by you missing a Sunday night, maybe a Wednesday night first, and then a Sunday night when you should be here, and then a Wednesday night. See, you stop growing. There's a great danger not to stop growing. I don't want to ever stop growing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Watch your company, folks. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You hear that? What God is saying? Have no confidence in the flesh. When we say, I'll never do that, the Bible says to him that thinketh of him standeth, let him take heed lest he falls. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think he have, wherefore he might trust in the flesh, I more. I was circumcised the 8th day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge. Now listen, he's talking about the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul said, I've thrown everything. Jesus is the way. I want to spend my life serving him. And actually what he's saying here is this. I don't never want to stop growing. Look, verse 8 again, about middle ways there. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. You know what our word for dung is? I'll not say it. That I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by Christ's faith. That I may know him, here's what he said now, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, been made conformable to unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, mature, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus, our Father. We pray your blessings upon this morning, the Sunday school lesson. Now, dear Holy Spirit of God, please teach us from your word. You do what I can't do. I speak to the ears, not Holy Spirit. You reinforce it. You lay it on their hearts that we all ought to leave here today with the attitude, I never want to stop growing. I never want to stop growing in the things of the Lord. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then if we go on a little bit further in verse 13 of Philippians 3, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, all of us in here have done some things in the past we wish we hadn't have done. We need to forget them. Get them under the blood, but the old devil reminds us of them every day. Jesus doesn't. That's the old devil that reminds us of the mistakes, the faults, the sins that we've done in the past. And for 28 years, I never heard the gospel. Never didn't know it. I didn't know how to go to heaven. I didn't even know John 3:16 when I was 28 years old. Never been to Sunday school, never heard it. But now, so when I got saved after 7 car wrecks and lived an awful, sinful life, after I got saved, Jesus forgave me of every sin I ever did, and my record in heaven is white as snow, but the old devil reminds me every day of them. I want to help you here. And I tell you, I wish somebody had come to me as a young Christian and said to me, Brother Anderson, it's normal for you to remember the things that you did, but God's forgiven them. Remember, and the old devil is going to throw them up to you all day, constantly reminding you of the things you did in the past. And Paul said, now that he knows Paul, you know what? Why Paul said, you know, he actually killed Christians. If you read in Acts chapter 9, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, he was going, and if you read over in Acts about 26, 27, you read where he said, I persecuted Christians, I arrested them, I put them in prison, and women to their death. So actually, he might have even killed some himself. So arresting women and men and killing and throwing them in prison and maybe killing some, Paul had a lot to remember, didn't he? But he said, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's in 13 now. And here's what he said, and I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you and I ought to do. That's why I never want to stop growing. You hear about some pastor that's quitting. You hear about some Christian that has messed up his marriage and run off and disappeared. They stop growing. You see, what keeps me going is when I read and study the Word of God. I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. All right. See, I'm getting food, you see. That's important to them. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, as mature, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise, mind God shall reveal unto you. Verse 16, nevertheless, where two, we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be you followers together me, and mark them which walk as you have us for an example. Now, Paul and I, we've lived and we set an example before you. So may I say again, I don't know about you, but I never want to quit growing. Dr. Jack Howell said that, and it says also, if I can find it here just a minute here, in 2 Peter, now listen to this, what it says in 2 Peter. 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even there shall be false teachers among you. You turn the television on, you see a lot of false teachers.
Yeah.
I won't send them any money. I'll not support anyone in my old pastor. Let me give you a little advice. Before you ever support, send money to anyone, come ask your pastor.
Yeah, right. Amen. That's right.
Amen. I mean, that's after your tithes and offerings to your own church. But you come ask the pastor, because he knows a lot of that you don't know. Here, other preachers talking about people are going off on false doctrines.
Yep.
By the way, you call that TV pastor and get him to come when your wife's in the hospital sick.
Yeah. Right.
You're going to visit tomorrow morning. You already told me 2 or 3 times, man, you got your concern and your love for some lady in here that's going to have an operation tomorrow. Mention it in here. It's been on your mind, you see. And so, therefore, We should never stop growing. So Paul said that, here says, and verse 2, 2 Peter 2:2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be even spoken. And though covetous shall they be feigned words, make merchandise of you. Thus judgment now of a long time lingeth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For God spared not the angels of sin, and cast them down to hell, and delivered them to the chains of darkness, to be reserved in the day of judgment. So here's what he's saying here is here. He wants us to keep growing, growing, growing. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, and said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things,
yeah.
You see. And so, and Paul knew here, he had new converts that had many things to learn about growing in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, I think they'd been saved about 3 years, but they hadn't grown any, and Paul got concerned for them. And so he wrote him a letter, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Here's what Paul said. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are you. In other words, Paul said, you got saved, but you're not grown any. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Right? Then verse 3 says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envies and strifes and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? And so Paul warned them there. And then he says in verse 9, we are laborers together with God, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building, according to the grace of God is given to me as my wise master builder. And so therefore, I never want to stop growing. I heard the story of a pastor who said when he and his wife got married and had the first child that she got a baby book, how to rear that baby. And said they noticed after a few months the baby was not growing. And they got concerned and they took the baby to the doctor. And the doctor examined the baby and she said, there's nothing wrong with this baby that food won't cure.
Yeah.
Feed him. Let me tell you this morning, I don't know how you're on the spiritual totem pole. I don't care if you're here or here. If you start feeding and eating on the right kind of food, buddy, you're going to grow.
Yes.
The Word of God's promised it.
Yes.
The Word of God is, you know how I built 7 successful businesses? I let the Word of God in here, and they give me wisdom. I can give you a success verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let. If I knocked on your door this week, you'd have to let me come in or you'd have to make me stay out. So you either got to let the Spirit of God come and let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
you know it by the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You see? And so, therefore, I never want to stop growing. Never want to stop growing. And Paul never did. He never went. And here's how Paul said he did. In 1 Corinthians 9, 27, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself might be a castaway. Let me give you some help. See, now, practically everything I know, I learned from Dr. Howes, Dr. Rice, and some great men of God. I do a lot of reading, a lot of studying. I'll spend 5 hours a day on average in the Bible praying for God to use me and give me scriptures and that. And he said, lest by any way others, I myself might be a castaway, Paul said. So he didn't. I don't stop growing. And let me tell you, Paul had trouble with the flesh also, the old nature. And so he said, because he said, I keep my body and bring it into subjection. Now, one of the things I did this morning, I got up and I said, now, I pray it several times. I get up during the night, use the bathroom. I always go to the window and pray and look up and tell God he's the only God. There's no God like you, and there's no God above you, no God below you. And I said, you're the only God. And God, if I can just keep you on my side, and I say, teach me to do thy, listen to it, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God.
Yeah.
I like to say that. You're my God.
Yeah.
Personal, huh? You're my God. I'm satisfied with you. I don't know if you're satisfied with me, God, but I'm trying to be a better Christian. If I've grown that much, I've got another million miles to go, and I hope, God, that I can get more things out of your lesson. So I said this morning, I said, Holy Spirit of God, please take control of my mind. See, if I can get the Holy Spirit controlling my mind, then I'll keep growing. Then you control my mind. Then I tell my mind, now, mind, you control my body. It would have been good if David had prayed that prayer before he got with Bathsheba. Holy Spirit, take control of my mind and say no, like Joseph said in Genesis 39 to Potiphar's wife, tried to get him to sin. Is that a bell? But that's a buzzer. That's not a bell. So do I got 5 minutes or shut it off? Shut it off?
5 minutes more.
Oh, another 5 minutes. Watch that song, give me 5 minutes more. So some of you have been to the same school as I was before, I got to say. So, therefore, you see, if I can get the Holy Spirit controlling this mind in the morning, now listen, and all day long walking in the mind, doesn't this seem that I have a better chance of living a victorious Christian life?
Yes.
Invite the Holy Spirit of God to do the thinking for you. Huh? There's not a man or woman in this building, in this world, I bet you can say, if they're not out, there haven't been some woman or some man flirted with you. Men, there's some woman. So is this mine? No, I got a wife at home, man. I'm happy with that. Devil, wait a minute. I got a family at home. I'm going to mess up. You say that, let this mind be. See, when your mind controls your body. Now, if your body controls your mind, it gets you in trouble. So I don't want to stop growing. I just don't stop. So so the temptations, because like I said, Paul had a fear of failing and becoming a castaway. If he let the flesh control him, so he kept the flesh under control. And so junkyards are filled with castaways, and so is churches. Lord, I don't want to stop growing. My greatest problem, I've told you this, when I first got saved, I could remember the things that I had done, the sins, some of the sins I'd done. And Paul said the victory came. Why did Paul have it? Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together in, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Hebrews 10, 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, if you work for me as an employee, you'd have to do what I told you. You wouldn't get a paycheck. Long. Obey them that rule over you, and submit yourself, for they must watch for your soul, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For it is a problem. So, therefore, we'd obey them have the rule over us. Obey them have the rule over us. And so we have a man of God to go to, get there to, Acts 26. And disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. The Christians so live their life, don't have time to lay this, brother, and they live their life in such a way. In Acts chapter 11, they noticed the apostles, how they lived, and they was living like Christians. They lived Christ-like, and they were called Christians.
Yeah.
See, we're Christians. We carry somebody else's name. We were adopted into God's family.
Yeah.
Now, if I adopted all you in my family, I'd want you to have my last name.
Yeah.
You know, if I adopted the children here and that, I'd want you to take my name, Anderson. I won't tell you, say, now, look, what you do, good or bad, it reflects back upon me. Now, you got my name. Now, I want you to do right. You see, and so I'd want to be called by his name. It's honor. I'd want to bring honor to Christ's name because what he did for me. I'd never want to stop going. And so, I'd want realizing that my pastor, and I'm still a layman. I'm still a member. I'm not a ordained preacher or anything, but I would want to obey the man of God, if in this church. You see. I'd want to do it. I would not want. And the way we have the thing to do it, James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, they were called Christians because they lived like Christians. How does people see you and I on the job? Our mannerism of living. Now, I'll tell you why they all got into trouble. Everybody, anybody in this church, any relatives you've got, now I've got relatives that gotten back. I had one I had $50,000 for, and she wasn't going to go to college, wasn't going to do this, and she didn't get my $50,000 either. I had it in the bank for her. She didn't get it. Now, how much are we losing from God by not continuing to grow? God and you make a majority. That's why I should be number one. I never want to stop growing. I never want to stop growing. May that bless the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly and stand away in sinners, the citizen sees the scornful. Listen, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You reckon that same verse an old uneducated coal miner in Kentucky, he could claim that?
Yep.
Huh? And God gave him 7 successful businesses, become the largest property owner, the largest taxpayer in my town, 70,000. I don't know about you, but that makes me believe in God. That makes me want to never stop growing.
Yeah.
But the old devil constantly, now he attacks me. And let me prepare you. He's going to attack you too.
Right.
Our Father, we pray your blessings on what's been said this morning. And so may we all leave here again, as I said, with a promise that we never want to stop growing. Amen.